This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello, welcome to Pint Size Distant Pod. Every Sunday, we're going to be bringing you something from the Distant Pod archives. We've gone back through all of the episodes of the Socially Distant Sports Bar so far, and we found what we think are some of the funniest bits. So, if you like what you listen to over the next few minutes, then have a look on the episode description, because there'll be the episode number that this comes from in there, which means it makes your journey easier. You can then go off and listen to the whole episode either again or for the first time. If you're a new listener, this is quite a good way of getting into our archives. If you have been with us from episode one, it's a nice way of getting yourselves back into some of the old episodes as well. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this little snippet from the Socially Distant Sports Bar, our Distant Pod pint size episodes.
Michael probably know this. On D-Day, I'm sure that one Scottish nutter got off the boat.
And one definitely led with a sword.
Rather than having a gun,
yeah,
he had pipes.
Oh, fuck
pipes.
Off.
Yeah, and I'm sure this is true. And the Germans just thought, we're not shooting him. What a mad bastard. What a nutter.
But shoot the pipes.
Yeah, please.
Well, the other Scotsman at D-Day went up the beach with a claymore, basically, with a sword.
Really?
Instead of a gun. Because he's fucking mad.
Bill Millen. So Bill Millen, commonly known as Piper Bill. He's best remembered, great stuff, for playing the pipes whilst under fire during the D-Day landing in Normandy.
Slaughtered on June the 6th, 1944. Google about the fellow with the sword,
I
mate.
I cannot
well.
Imagine the fear of trying to take it on the Germans on a beach and you're armed not with a gun, but with a...
Well, the whole point is zero fear for him.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Jack Churchill.
There we go.
British Army officer, fought the second...
Read this. Read this one.
Fought in the Second World War with a longbow, bagpipes and a Scottish broadsword.
Wow.
You've just got it wrong, haven't you? He also has a post-Second World War career. So, despite fighting in the Second World War with those as his things, he survived.
With a longbow and a sword.
Fucking hell.
It's a real kick in the teeth for all the boys who died of the gun, though.
As the ramps fell on the first landing craft, he leapt forward from his position on his bagpipes before throwing a grenade and charging into battle.
I think people were weirder then.
You watch that opening scene of Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
And I think it is the most one of the most powerful scenes in cinema.
Oh, it's amazing.
When that ramp goes down, the one poor lad gets pinked and it goes right through his helmet and he's dead.
Yeah.
I just think, imagine and the one boy's pissing himself literally with fear. You don't think of that. Of course you'd be pissing yourself with fear. And then you've got some... If it wasn't scary enough, the bloke in front of you has got...
Just trying to blow the pipes up.
But it just shows you that in that situation, if you're running against a machine gun in a concrete pillar...
You may
as well have bagpipes as anything else.
There are certain aspects of Welsh culture that I cannot believe are so embedded. Now... Trying to think of it. It's a bit like when Mike was talking a couple of weeks ago about the standard of singing at his kids' primary school Christmas concert. Four-part harmonies and all that kind of stuff. Which I don't think happens, certainly not in my experience, hasn't happened in England. Not in the same way. And not also not in the English medium primary schools in Wales to the same extent. So Mam, whenever she comes to London, always makes a lot of Welsh cakes and she hands them out to people in the street and they're very popular.
People in the street.
No.
Like reverse begging.
Yeah. And I've interviewed quite a few of the players from the Euro
2016. Moved on by the police for giving away Welsh cakes.
From the Euro 2016 team. And they're all like, oh, there was always Welsh cakes. You know, I'm assuming, and this is the case now. I'm assuming that Gareth Bale probably has a macrobiotic diet as one of the world's fittest footballers to keep him in tip-top condition. But there are still Welsh cakes on the table.
Well, Geraint Thomas.
Sam Vokes told me that.
Geraint Thomas's mum, I think Sarah, his wife, now they make Welsh cakes for what was Team Sky, now Team Ineos. So when they're at training camps, they've got all these, you know, proper things to eat. And a bunch of Welsh cakes.
It's like, okay, right then, boys, keep the secret. We're gonna land on Omaha Beach in Normandy on June the 6th, or whatever it was. Right then.
Dye's gonna do a clog dance.
But it's like...
Get out of the baked stone.
Some Scottish guy going, well, they'll need a piper. They'll have to be pipes. If we're gonna take on the Germans, they'll have to be pipes. There doesn't. There has to be pipes.
I insist.
There'll be pipes.
There's the tartan flash.
How can you fire a gun if you play the bagpipes? Oh, when you need a gun. No gun.
No I'll gun for fine. Me, thank you.
I'll be that whole stretch of beach within 17 seconds. Not now, Flash.
You English guys can fire the gun. I'll be on pipe duty. Is that so?
Cover me.
Cover me. Imagine the Germans with the binoculars up on the pillbox going,
what the fuck's he got?
I think there's someone down there with the backpack.
You do not know what this weapon is. Be careful.
Well, it could be lots of different guns, couldn't it?
If you've never seen one before, that'd be petrifying. What's he going to fire out of that? Awful noise.
I don't know what weapon that is, but I do know it sounds awful.
Yeah. Stay away.
Even though there's like 8-inch artillery shells going off everywhere and millions of rounds of ammunition, the loudest thing on the beach was still those fucking...
Six English guys behind him going, friendly fire?
Yeah,
go on, let's get him.
I do love that. They fucking love the crack, the Scots. I mean, I told that time I was in Malta. I must have... But with Ingram?
No.
Fuck off. We're on 65 episodes anyway. Kelly and I went to Malta before we had the kids.
Right? Yeah.
And we did one of these... There was a cruise around Malta on like an old sailboat. At night time, so that'd be lovely. Coming to Valletta Harbour at midnight. Stunning, right? So we met there. So we get there in the evening, get on the boat, beautiful big like twin mast boat there, right? Free bar is part of it, right? So I met this fella called Ingram and his missus, and they had like an 8-year-old daughter, right? She was lovely, very quietly spoken. He was a lovely bloke, Ingram. Hey, so where are you from? Oh, right enough. Oh, yeah, I love Wales, I love the Welsh. Okay, Ingram, take care, man. I'll say, well, I'll see you on the boat, I'm sure. Yeah, take care. Get on the boat, we go out for an hour or two, there's a free bar there, I've had a couple of rackies or whatever. Kel's had a couple of glasses of wine. They drop an anchor, you can swim off the side of the boat, it's all good. Fucking, we come back around night time now, it's just midnight, and then you come into Valletta Harbour at night, it's like something out of Indiana Jones, it's stunning. So we get back, we've had a thoroughly brilliant night, right? A few drinks, four, five, six drinks maybe. And when we get back, they say, we'll say goodbye to Ingram and his missus and the kid, you know. They were a nice company. I can't find him. So we get the coach back to the hotel from the harbour there. This fucking bloke is absolutely fucked off his face, right? This Scots bloke plus free bar, right? I said, that's Ingram. And he's staggering all over the road, right? Just dodging the traffic. I go, Ingram. I said, Ingram. And then his wife is almost in tears, right? She's going, oh, Ingram, why do you always do this to yourself? He's going, oh, fuck off. And then the kid's crying because he's pissed as well. Oh, daddy. Oh, fucking mate, you don't fucking... fucking gone. And then he's in the same fucking hotel. So he's behind us now.
Yeah.
All the way back to the hotel. Basically swearing at his wife, swearing at his kids. Throwing up. I thought we've had a lovely night. Like a medieval harbour. Fucking hell. He just stayed at the bar for like 5 hours. Mind your own fucking business. So my mate Luke and I told Luke the story. If we're ever on the piss, we just say we're getting Ingram'd. Getting Ingram'd?
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's good.
I got Ingram'd yesterday. I got Ingram'd. Yeah, really drunk as Ingram.
Hope you enjoyed that little extract from our archives of the Socially Distant Sports Bar. We will have another one of these pint-sized distant pods for you next Sunday. What you can do now is scroll through the episode description, find the episode that was from, and disappear off into our archives. Get yourself off on a journey around the Socially Distant Sports Bar.